You have had a pleasant evening with your daughter and your soul condition is in a very well-developed state and you have much love in your heart. If you will only pray more and let your thoughts turn more to things spiritual, then you will continue in this state of soul perception and be able to receive my message as I may come to you. I will try to make my message as plain and convincing as possible and I think you will be much benefited by it. I am with you more than you think, trying to help you and encourage you in your work and business and as you see, things are getting better, only give your attention to your business and it will increase and you will get in condition that will cause your worries to leave you. I love you as in, the Paget Messages 1916. Elder brother and a spirit who knows what love means and you must have faith in me and think of me and my nearness to you. Yes, I will be with her and help her and protect her from evil and try to make her happy. She is very happy tonight and is commencing to love you as a daughter and very soon you will see the differences in her affections and demonstration of her love. You will soon be together in your home and then you will both be happy and keeping up your courage and her faith and all these things that you desire will become yours. I will not write more tonight. Question and answer. Yes, she is very mediumistic and I think it advisable to take her to the seance for it will convince her that there is truth in spiritualism and she will then commence to think more of the subject and soon become thoroughly convinced and the power will develop itself in her and will work to her good. So with my love and blessings, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. May 8, 1916 I am here, Jesus. I come tonight to finish my message and will do so, if your condition is such that you may receive it. Well, as you may remember, my subject is, how the divine love enters into the soul of a human being. I have already explained to you the difference between and the respective functions of the physical body, the spiritual body and the soul, and how the real man is the soul, which may live forever. I have also shown you how the physical and spiritual bodies change their component parts, and as such bodies, disintegrated and disappear in the form that they may have at any one time. Well, the soul is the man and becomes the angel of God's kingdom. The soul may also become the only everlasting part of man in the spiritual kingdom as contradistinguished from the celestial heavens. The only way in which the soul may become an inhabitant of the celestial spheres, is by its obtaining of the divine love and thereby become a partaker of the divine nature of the Father, and this can be accomplished only by the inflowing of the divine love, by means of the operation of the Holy Spirit, which is the instrumentality used by God to carry this love to the souls of men. As I have before said, this love never forces itself into the souls of men, and comes only when 380 men seek for it in sincerity and with effort. It is waiting for all men to receive it, but never comes into the soul of its own initiative, and without invitation. So the important question is, how does it come into the soul and what must men do to induce its inflowing? There is only one way, and that is by the opening up of the soul in such a manner that this love, when it comes in response to sincere seeking, may find an entrance and a condition of development that will cause it to find lodgment and abiding place, harmonious and satisfactory to the qualities of its own existence. Of course, man cannot of himself open up his soul to this inflowing, for, while he has great power, yet the will is not sufficient, nor has he any other inherent qualities that will enable him to place his soul in such condition as to make possible the work of the Holy Spirit in causing the love to flow into the soul. The only means by which this can be accomplished are prayer and faith. When a man in true earnestness and sincere aspirations prays to the Father for this divine love, such prayer not only brings love, but causes those portions of the soul which are capable of receiving this love to open up to its coming and to work in such a way as to attract the love. The Holy Spirit never performs this work of preparing the soul for the reception of this love, but merely brings the love and causes its inflowing when the soul is in condition to receive it. In answer to prayer, there are other instrumentalities of the Father working to prepare the soul condition that is required, and these instrumentalities are the bright spirits of the celestial heavens, whose duties, among others, are to answer the prayers of the penitent in the way of infilling the soul with influences that turn the thoughts and aspirations to this divine love and its operations. As I said, when on earth, There is no other way to get into the sheepfold but through the gateway provided. He that attempts to climb over the fence is a thief and a robber. But this should be modified to fit the exact fact, for there is no possibility of getting into this fold by climbing the fence. There is only one way, that through the gate of prayer and sincere longing. I know that many men believe that the performance of church duties, and the observation of the requirements of the church as to baptism and the sacraments, etc., will be sufficient to enable them to get into the kingdom, but I tell you that, the Paget Messages 1916, they are all wrong, and their disappointment will be very great when they come into the spirit world. What are called moral deeds and good thoughts will not cause this inflowing of the divine love, because these things are necessary steps towards the purification of the soul in its natural love, and no matter how pure this love may become, yet it is not the divine love or any portion of it. Good thoughts and deeds, though, may help to turn the aspirations of the soul to these higher conditions, and open up its perceptions to a degree that may lead to prayer and faith, and, therefore, in addition to their work of purifying, the natural love may prove to be of great value in assisting men towards the development of the soul so that the divine love may enter into it. But to depend on good thoughts and moral deeds and a life pure from sin to give man the right to an entrance into the celestial kingdom, is a great mistake. The divine love is a thing entirely apart from the nature of man, even in its purest state, and was never conferred on man as was the natural love, and, consequently, when man obtains this divine love, and it becomes a part of his soul qualities, his nature, as it were, changes, and he becomes a new creature. An additional something has been conferred upon him, and it becomes impossible for him to remain the mere man that he was, and he always would be, except for this change in his nature. I know that men do not understand the distinction between a man with only the natural love and one with the divine love, but the distinction is so great, that the one, when possessed to a sufficient degree, makes the man a part of divinity, while the other, no matter how fully possessed and how pure it may become, makes man merely man, though a perfect one. Whosoever will pray in sincerity for the inflowing of this divine love will receive it. It is not a respecter of persons, and the sincere aspirations of the soul of any man, be he prince or peasant, rich or poor, will invariably cause this love to come into his soul and change his nature, so that he will become a new creature, and one not subject to death forevermore. The merely intellectual prayers are not efficacious, for it does not have any effect in opening up the soul, and neither does much of this praying do the work. One little moment of this true praying will be more effective in causing this divine love to flow towards the soul than a whole lifetime of idle repetition of prayers that come from a source 381, merely mental. And here let me say that the mind is not the soul, and much less God. Well, I think I have made plain how this love flows into a man's soul, and in addition what its effect is, when possessed by man. There is nothing in all God's universe that can take its place for the purpose of making a man at one with the Father, and of causing him to become divine, in so far as he possesses this love. So I say to all men, pray and pray and never cease to pray for the inflowing of this love, for there is no limit to its abundance, or the amount which man or spirit can obtain. Always in the celestial heavens, we spirits continually pray for an increased bestowal, and always our prayers are answered, but always there is more to follow. I must not write more tonight. I am satisfied with the correctness of your receiving my message, and will come again and write you another. With all my love and blessings, I'm your brother and friend, Jesus. May 12, 1916. I am here, John. I desire to write tonight, and if you think it is not too late, we will do so. Well, I will not make my message very lengthy, but try to condense it in short sentences. I want to tell you that when a man gets to know the truths of the Father, he will become a very happy and wise man, for these truths have in them only those principles that create happiness and wisdom. I know that men believe many things on account of their being ancient or having the authority of their forefathers, or some great saint or writer who lived many centuries ago, but such a basis for truth, while worthy of consideration and examination, does not of itself, because of being old, afford any certainty that what is thus accepted contains the truth. Truth is a thing very old, and existed for many thousands of centuries before the times in which these ancient writers, as you call them, lived, and in fact, those days of the writers, in comparison to what had gone before, are as yesterday's. And therefore you will see that because the declarations of these writers are what you consider very ancient, they should not be received as having authority. Truths of those days, and of the long ages prior thereto, and of the present time are all the same, as truth never changes or assumes new forms no matter what the conditions of mortals. The Paget Messages 1916, may be as to intellectual or spiritual development. And they may be revealed today, and are being constantly revealed as time progresses, and should be accepted with as much credence and satisfaction as any truths that were ever disclosed in ancient days. Men are just as susceptible now to the reception of these truths in their spiritual natures or perceptions as they were in the times of Abraham or Moses or at any time since. The mind of man was given to him to be exercised in the way of investigation and search, and never was it contemplated in his creation that the time would come when he should accept anything as the ultimate of truth and cease his inquiries, for truths are so many and great and deep, that so far, in the mortal universe, man has acquired only a smattering of these truths. And to rest supinely in this acquirement under the belief that there is nothing more in existence than man may know, violates and subverts the very object of his creation. And what I have said applies to spiritual truths as well as to material ones. The churches, I know, declare and try to enforce the declaration that it is not possible to discover or have revealed to men the essential principles of spiritual truths to a greater extent than has already been declared in the Bible and the Church's interpretation of the same, and that, therefore, it is contrary to God's will that men should seek further for any additional truths, and that men should accept, without question, the sayings of the Bible, and the dogmas and creeds of the churches which their claim is founded upon, and which they declare are the true principles of spiritual truths. And for many years this has been the demand of the churches, and the members thereof have acquiesced, without question or doubt. Now, this has been one of the great causes why men have not progressed more, not only in their spiritual nature but also in what may be called their natural qualities. They have remained satisfied, and what was believed by them centuries ago is believed today. I say all this to show how stagnant the intellects of men have been, as it depends on search and investigation, and has remained so for all these long ages. I further recite this to show the necessity for men to seek and criticize, and accept or reject as the results of the search may demand. In recent years though, men have made greater progress, and the individual has come to the front and the old accepted fabrications of truths have been assaulted and shaken and denuded of their 382 falsities to a considerable degree, and so it should be. Men must seek, and criticize and accept or reject as their own conscience and reasoning powers dictate, and therein will be freedom of the mind as well as of the will. The soul, also, has been smothered in these dogmatic beliefs, and as a consequence its development has been slow, and knowledge of things spiritual has not come to men as it should have done, and as is necessary to teach them their destiny and the truths which should control their lives on earth, and which will control their progress in the spirit world. Well, as you are tired, I will postpone the balance of my discourse. I think it best when you feel tired to discontinue the writing instead of attempting to force yourself into receiving it. So I will not write more. Believe that I am your brother in Christ, John. May 16, 1916. I am here, Jesus. I will not write a formal message tonight, but will merely tell you that I was with you tonight at the home of Mr. Morgan, and wrote what you received as purporting to come from me. I meant that if I could establish the rapport with him I would cure him, and so I will. It depends somewhat on his having the necessary concentration and belief in me. It may seem strange that I cannot do this unless this rapport is established, but it is a fact. There are certain laws which control the exercise of this power upon mortals which must be complied with. When on earth I could come in direct contact with the mortal by reason of my being in the flesh, and as the power was in me, or could be engendered in me by the exercise of my spiritual powers, I encountered no obstacle in the way of my exercising these powers upon the mortal. But now there is no direct contact between me and the mortal, and hence there is no means of communicating this power to him until a rapport is established. This rapport is something more than a mere spiritual connection. It partakes somewhat of the material, though we are not of the material, yet the rapport must be of the nature mentioned, and the material part of it must come from the mortal himself. Now you will understand that my relationship in such cases with the mortal is very different from what would be your relationship to him, had you, the Paget Messages 1916, this power residing in you. And when the time comes for you to receive this power, you will not need to establish any rapport between you and whomever you may be able to cure. I mean it will not be necessary for this rapport to be established by drawing from the mortal any part of the material that belongs to him. This you will have yourself, and the power will be exercised by you simply as a mortal coming in contact with him. This power can be possessed by mortals just as my disciples and others possessed it at the time that I was on earth, and the same results may be obtained as were obtained in those days. Well, the power that was manifested in you was somewhat of the nature that I have been speaking of, only it was a power borrowed, or conferred upon you by a spirit. It was a part of this spirit's power, and thereby differing from that which you will receive as a part of your own self, when you shall have had that soul development and possession of the divine love, which are necessary prerequisites to any mortal, or spirit either, being able to receive the power. The spirit who was trying to manifest through you and help Mr. Morgan was your own Indian guide, who is a very powerful spirit, and he drew on you very hard for the material that was necessary for him to make the manifestation. The power which he transmitted will help Mr. Morgan, and he will realize it by morning. And if you had continued for a while longer, its effects would have become seen before you left him. I will try tonight, as I promised, to help him, and if we can form the rapport that I speak of, there will be no uncertainty as to the results. I will give especial attention to his case, as I desire to demonstrate to him that the power of the spirit world, when properly exercised, can be used to help mortals, even in their physical ills, to relieve them from their sufferings. I see that he has a very considerable faith and will make the effort to help establish this rapport, and we may succeed. At any rate, you have already helped him and he will realize it. I will come to you soon and write you another message on an important subject, so that you may see the necessity for our working faster. I will not write more, but will say that I love you and am with you, trying to help you. So, with my blessings, I will say good night. Your brother and friend, Jesus. Let me write a line. I am your cousin Alice, and it has been a long time since I wrote you, and as I saw you a few nights ago when you spoke to Mame at the show, I have since had a great longing to write you and tell you my condition now and how happy I am. Mary's mother and I were with her at the time and we saw you speak to her and heard you tell her that you had recently received a letter from her mother. Of course, she scarcely believes it, but nevertheless she has in her heart a longing that it may be so, for she dearly loved her mother when on earth, and now thinks of her very often. Well, I am still in the third sphere, but I am so very happy and have such a beautiful home and lovely surroundings, and beautiful and good associates. I never on earth conceived such happiness or such a home, and such companions. It is one long dream of joy and freedom from sin and unrest. I mean that I now have nothing to make me unhappy as I had on earth. I am still praying to the Father for more love. For Helen and your mother come to me often and tell me that I must continue to pray so that I may progress to the higher spheres where so much greater happiness may be found. And they help me very much. And what beautiful spirits they are. Helen seems to love me so much and to be so filled with the divine love. Well, Ed, you thought she was beautiful on earth. But you should see her now. You simply have no conception of her beauty. And if I could write for a whole year trying to describe it to you, I could not succeed and you would not comprehend. How thankful I am that she came to me with her love and showed me the way to this heaven of bliss. Oh, it is wonderful to know that there is a heaven and that I am eating its fruits and drinking from its river of life. I must not write longer. Well, Aunt Mary is progressing very much. She is not yet with me, but she is very happy and free from all darkness and suffering, and has some of the Father's love in her soul and knows how to pray and is doing so. She will soon progress and then I will see more of her. So pray for us both that we may get more of the divine love. I will stop now. But first I want to tell you how much I enjoy writing to you and how much I love you. So with all my love I will say good night. Your own true cousin, Alice. I am here, Luther. I come to tell you that I desire very much to write you before a great time shall elapse, as I have a subject that is important to 383, the Paget Messages 1916, me to reveal to mankind, and especially my followers in the church which bears my name. I see the necessity of correcting many of the principles of belief which now hold my followers to bondage and prevent them from learning the truths as I now know them to be. Soon let me write, if you can possibly find the opportunity. I am very happy in my condition of love and living, and want to help all others to learn the truth and become happy. So, with my love and best wishes, I'm your brother in Christ, Luther. I am here, your own loving Helen. Well, sweetheart, I will not write much, as you are tired and must go to bed early. You have had an experience tonight which has exhausted you somewhat, and you need rest. I was with you at Mr. Morgan's, and tried to help him, and when White Eagle was rubbing him, I also tried to help. I think that Mr. Morgan will feel better in the morning, for White Eagle used a great deal of his power to treat Mr. Morgan, and you received so much that I was afraid it might do you some harm at the time. But White Eagle said no, that he would look out for that, and so I told him to do his best. Yes, Jesus was there. And what you received he actually wrote. And he was so anxious to help Mr. Morgan in the way that he indicated, and will succeed, if he can only establish the necessary rapport, as he said. It will be a glorious demonstration if he does succeed. I would like to write longer tonight, but I must not. So, my own dear Ned, love me and think of me, and call me to you more often. Give me a great big kiss and say good night. Your own true and loving, Helen. May 23, 1916. I am here, Luther. I came tonight in the hope that I may write my message of which I spoke to you a short time ago. Well, if you feel that you can receive the same, I will proceed. In my day, the members of the Church, I mean the Roman Catholic Church, were dependent entirely upon the priesthood for all information as to the contents of the Bible, and the interpretation that should be given such contents. Very few of the laymen were able to possess the Bible, and scarcely any could read it, as it was written in the Latin tongue, and the inhabitants of 384, my section of Europe, were not acquainted with that language. Martin Luther lived from 1483 to 1546. The consequence of this was that all the people were dependent entirely on the priests for any knowledge of the will of God, and that only as the priests saw proper to convey the same to these people. Many things were taught by these officials of the Church in such a way as to convince the people that the Church was a divine institution of God, and that, in every particular, as to the conduct of men, what the priests said and declared to be the will of God must be accepted without doubt or hesitation. The penalties of disobedience of these teachings of the priests would be in the form that they should prescribe, and that the wrath of God would fall upon all who should disobey these teachings of the Church. The spiritual enlightenment of men was not attempted to any degree, and the requirements of the Church were that men should strictly obey the dogmas and tenets which should be declared to them by these instructions of the priests. Duty was the principal thing to be observed, and the utmost obedience to the commands of the Church must be performed, unless the Church itself should release the people from the performance of these duties. Every violation of these commands was a sin, to which a penalty was attached which could not be avoided unless the priests should give to the believers an indulgence, and then to the extent of the indulgence the penalty was taken away. But in order to obtain this indulgence a compensation would have to be made to the coffers of the Church, depending upon the ability of the one receiving such indulgence to make. At a time when these indulgences were most prevalent, and when the Church was becoming rich from the revenues paid for the same, I commenced to revolt from the claims of the Church and declared my want of belief in the dogma that the Church could grant such indulgences, and absolve men from the penalties which their sins brought upon them. You will that know the history of the Reformation and its results upon the power of the Church of Rome, and how men were freed from the superstitions of the Church and how the reform grew in many of the Catholic countries, and new churches and beliefs were established. Well, I will not further recite any of these things, but merely say that what I have written is intended to be only preliminary to what the object of my writing is. The Paget Messages 1916. As men of thought, convinced of the false claims and superstitions of the Church and of the necessity of making known to mankind the truths of the Bible, I and several others, in our zeal, refused to recognize and accept as a part of the teachings of the Reform belief many things which were contained in the Church's dogmas or teachings that were really true, or in a manner true, when relieved of their appendages which the Church had attached to the kernels of truth. As a consequence, we rejected many principles that we should have made parts of the beliefs and teachings of the new beliefs. Well, I am sorry that you do not feel in condition to receive more at this time, but it is best to postpone the remainder. I will soon come and finish what I desire to write. So, with my love and best wishes, I'm your brother in Christ, Martin Luther. May 24, 1916. I am here, John. Well, I come to write only a few lines as you are not feeling so well, and not in condition to receive any formal message tonight. But I will say that, notwithstanding what you have read tonight in reference to your material affairs, you must have faith and expect that our promises will soon be realized. The work must be done and you must be placed in condition to do it, without interference. If you could realize the powers that are at work in the endeavor to bring about what is necessary to place you in position to do this work, as we desire it to be done, you would not lose faith or doubt that all the promises made will be fulfilled. We recognize to the fullest the importance of this matter, and we will not permit much more time to elapse until the end desired is brought about. You and your friend, who is interested in the means that we have adopted to bring about the consummation of our plan, will soon be able to accomplish as we have told you, and you must both have faith. I will not write more tonight, and with my love to you and your friend who is present, I will say good night and God bless you both. Your brother in Christ, John. May 26, 1916. I am here, John. I desire to write about a matter that will interest you, as I have heard you express your wonderment as to what would 385 become of the soulmate who should happen to be in a condition that caused him to be without the divine love at the time the great potentiality of obtaining the divine love should be taken from mankind. Well, this is a subject which has been discussed by spirits of the higher spheres, and we have not been able to solve the question. Of course, it is necessary that the two parts of the soul must again unite in order to make the perfect one, and if one part should be in the celestial heavens and the other part in the spirit world at the time the great gift is taken from man, it would not be possible for these two parts to unite and become one again. As you know, we are not informed as to when this great separation will take place, and only know that at some time it will, and that then the spirits in each of these conditions of development will have to part and never more become united. But as to the effect of such a separation on two soulmates, I cannot tell you, as I don't know. We don't believe there will not be some provision made by which these two separated parts can be united, for I cannot conceive that one could be completely happy without his soulmate in condition of unity. Many a soul will never enter the celestial heavens or partake of this divine love and nature of the Father, but will have to spend eternity in the spirit world, I mean in the spheres lower than the celestial spheres, and may or may not have his soulmate with him. I do not know how to instruct you in this matter, and am waiting for the great event in order to learn the truth regarding the matter. But irrespective of this mystery, every man and woman should strive to obtain this love which will enable him to enter the celestial spheres, and not wait until he gets into the spirit world, as it is very much easier to start on this journey from earth than from the spirit world. I do not believe that there will be any separation of soulmates when one of them is in the celestial spheres, for the result would be the writer's incompleteness of the severance of that soul from its mate. I wish that I could inform you as to what provision will be made for the reuniting of soulmates who are in the condition of the ones just mentioned, but I cannot, and all that I might say would be speculation only. I will not write more now, but will say that you have my love and blessings. Your brother in Christ, John. The Paget Messages 1916, May 28, 1916. I am here, your grandmother.